Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening later on recording and other devices. Saba blessing everyone on this Sabbath, May the 30th, 2026. This is our part four and final of our toddlers program. So we are going to review today our chapter 32 entitled The Home of the Saved. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. And we are going to ask our dear brother once more to bless us with our tiny tot hymn to our theme entitled, When the Saved Get to Heaven.
Thank you to whoever shut off my mic. I shut the sound off and started practicing another song. And when I came back, oh no. Anyway. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. But when just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the street of gold. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brothers. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are going to ask any of the precious little one to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, dear ones. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect us as we can get through the Sabbath safely. And thank you for keeping the holy Sabbath here and safe. And please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear little ones. It is time for a story, dear ones. So let's have a listening ear. For our dear brother, we'll be able to share part four of our chapter 32 entitled The Home of the Saved, of a story book, The Story of Jesus.
Well, good morning. The boy, the verse, Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the following books. Our opening scripture is taken from Isaiah 62, verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Revelation 22, or 21:11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I didn't know jasper was clear, but here we go. Revelation 21:24. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. It's like bringing a candle in, out when the sun's shining. Isaiah 65:19 says, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 14:5. And in their mouth was found no guile, no deception, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them, among them. There is the New Jerusalem, the capital to be glorified, capital of the glorified new earth, a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Her light is like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Isaiah 62:3, 21:11, and 24. The Lord says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 65:19 and Isaiah 65:19 and Revelation 21:3. I'm doing poorly here. There is the New Jerusalem. Oh, in the earth made new. I guess I finished that page, sorry. In the newer earth made new, only righteousness will dwell. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Revelation 21:27. God is holy. God's holy law will be honored by all beneath the sun. Those only who have proved themselves true to God by keeping his commandments shall dwell with him. In their mouth was found no guile. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Revelation 20, 14, 5, 7:14 and 15. This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 185 and 186, I think. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear brother. We have come to the end of our toddler's program and study book entitled The Home of the Saved, of the tiny lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother for the review questions.
The answer to...
Dear brother Dick, we are ready for the review for the children's story.
I forgot to light up my microphone. Okay. Number one, what will the new Jerusalem be?
The answer to number one is the capital of the glorified new earth.
Oh, yeah, the capital of the glorified new earth. The new Jerusalem is when it comes down from heaven. What will the nations of them which are saved do?
They shall walk in the light of it.
They shall walk in the light of the New Jerusalem, or in Jesus' light. In the earth made new, what shall dwell?
The answer to number three is only righteousness.
That's the only thing that'll be there. All the sin and sinners will be done away. And for the bonus question, what will be honored by all beneath the sun?
God's holy law.
God's holy law. People don't like that law down here. And the people who don't like it won't get to go there, because they would be most unhappy. And in mercy, the Lord will not take them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear one. And I have a combo, which is the scripture song. There's two. And this is our closing scripture song for the toddler's lesson, taken from our holy scripture. Our memory verse is a combo of promise, and it's taken from John chapter 14, 1 through 3, and 14 to 18, King James Version. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees them not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise the Lord for his promises. And I would like to ask any one of the parents or even one of the children to share this devotional from the Lift Them Up in chapter 5. It's entitled Lift Them Up as the Divine Lawgiver. If anyone would like to be able to share, may you unmute your mic.
Have blessings. Taken from the book of devotionals entitled Lift Him Up and chapter 5, Lift Him Up as the Divine Lawgiver. God gave these laws to Israel to preserve them in happy, healthful state. If there had excited no saint to tempt them, these special instructions would not have been needed. But unless the people had something to guide them, they would surely be led astray by the precious devisings of the enemy of all righteousness. Their only safety was to be found in hearkening with all diligence to the word of the Lord.
Parents who desire to train their children aright should heed the instruction given in these scriptures and allow their little ones to do nothing in disregard of God's commandments so plainly given. Let fathers and mothers faithfully teach their children these precepts and impress upon their tender minds the fact that in obedience there is life, health, happiness. The great object we should always keep in view when obtaining a knowledge of God's laws is that we are to become acquainted with his will in order that we may obey him. Taken from manuscript 151, 1901, and Lift Him Up, 160, paragraph 5 and paragraph 7. Amen. Happy Sabbath to all.
Sabbath blessing to you too, dear sisters, and Sabbath blessing for all of the dear ones that are coming in. And thank you so much, dear ones. And remember, little ones, when the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout for victory. We are going to ask any of the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, to open the review section with prayer. May you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning and to protect us. To protect us as we're going to be learning stuff on the review. And to protect us as we can go back to things that we haven't seen from last time. Be protected with the new things or the old things that we're going to be learning from the past. Thank you to everybody that's here and didn't get to make it. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear little one. So it is time for Tiny Tots, Mummies and Daddies, and also our guests, and those that will be listening on the recording. We are going to review what we had covered from last Sabbath, from God's creation to nature. We're still in our topic, Mamas of the Bible. So this Sabbath, boys and girls, we'll go over part one of the new lesson, Faith in Canaan. The topic of our last Sabbath in nature segment is bear cubs. And our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
Style blessings, everyone. Here we'll review what we learned from last Sabbath. We'll be reading the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. This is our review of our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from Stanley Bible Lesson, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 11, Faith in Canaan. The Bible verses for our nature segment review of Lesson 11, entitled Faith in Canaan, opening scripture is taken from Matthew 15:26-28. We read verse 28 first, and it says, "Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." And then verses 26-27 says, "But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she says, Truth, Lord, if the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And memory verse for today is Hosea 13:8, and it reads, "I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their hearts, and will devour, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them." And the character quality of the story is health or helpfulness versus conflict. Health or helpfulness is a harmonious state of complete physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. We'll be reviewing our next session for our fourth topic, bear cubs. Great is thy faith. The Savior is satisfied. He has tested her faith in him. By his dealings with her, he has shown that she, who has been regarded as an outcast from Israel, is no longer an alien, but a child in God's household. As a child, it is her privilege to share in the Father's gift. Christ now grants her request and finishes the lesson to the disciples. Turning to her with a look of pity and love, he says, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." From that hour, her daughter became whole. The demon troubled her no more. The woman departed, acknowledging her Savior, and happy in the granting of her prayer. This was the only miracle that Jesus wrought while on this journey. It was for the performance of this act that he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He wished to relieve the woman, the afflicted woman, and at the same time to leave an example in his work of mercy toward one of the despised people for the benefit of his disciples when he should no longer be with them. He wished to lead them from their Jewish exclusiveness to be interested in working for others beside their own people. When he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he stated the truth, and in his work for the Canaanite woman, he was fulfilling his commission. This woman was one of the lost sheep that Israel should have rescued. It was their appointed work, the work which they had neglected, that Christ was doing. This act opened the minds of the disciples more fully to the labor that lay before them among the Gentiles. They saw a wide field of usefulness outside of Judea. They saw souls bearing sorrows unknown to those more highly favored. Among those whom they had been taught to despise were souls longing for help from a mighty healer, hungering for the light, the truth, which had been so abundantly given to the Jews. The Desire of Ages, pages 401-402. She had offered in her faith a channel of communication between her distant child and Christ. With one hand of that faith, she laid hold on him in whom all human grace was stored, with the other on her suffering daughter, herself a living conductor by which the power of Christ might run, like an electric flash, from him to the object of her love. A person whose last name is Tretch. A preview of New Earth Fun. Children, it is very important to obey your parents' instructions and how to act around wild animals. But we print this true story for you to see how God intended things to be. We read in the prophets that the time will come when the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the kid, and the calf and the bear feed together, and a little child shall lead them. But we did not know such trust as the following experience shows would be enjoyed until the new birth. Mr. Atkinson heard the following story in his Siberian travels. Two children, one 4 and the other 6 years old, rambled away from their friends who were haymaking. They had gone from one thicket to another gathering fruit, laughing and enjoying themselves. At last, they came near a bear lying on the grass, and without the slightest distrust or fear, they went up to him. He looked at them steadily without moving. After a few moments, they began playing with him and mounted upon his back, which he submitted to pleasantly. Both the bear and the children seemed to be pleased with each other. Indeed, the children were delighted with their new fellow. The parents, missing their children, became alarmed and followed on their track. They were not long searching out the spot when, to their utter amazement, they saw one child sitting on the bear's back and the other feeding him with fruit. They called quickly, and the youngsters ran to their parents, and the bear, apparently not liking the interruption, went away into the forest. Remember, bears are normally very dangerous, so follow your parents' instructions concerning them. Let's learn more and review our last three character qualities from part one of last Sabbath. So the law and the testimony, the Holy Bible and Spirit Prophecy, Day 20, King James Version. 1, bereaved. 2, wealth. 3, disease. Bereaved in Scripture and Spirit Prophecy. Bereaved person, Christ sympathy for. Messages to Young People, page 217, paragraph 1. The Lord provides for the widow and the fatherless, not by a miracle of sending manna from heaven, not by sending ravens to bring them food, but by a miracle upon human hearts, expelling selfishness and unsealing the fountains of Christ-like love. The afflicted and bereaved one, he commits to his followers as a precious trust. They had the very strongest claim upon our sympathy. Ministry of Healing, page 202, paragraph 2. Chapter 67, Sown Beside All Waters. The Lord is calling upon his people to take up different lines of missionary work, to sow beside all waters. We do but a small part of the work that he desires us to do among our neighbors and friends. By kindness to the poor, the sick, or the bereaved, we may obtain an influence over them, so that divine truth will find access to their heart. No such opportunity for service should be allowed to pass unimproved. It is the highest of missionary work that we can do. The presentation of the truth in love and sympathy from house to house is in harmony with the instruction of Christ to his disciples when he sent them out on their first missionary tour, Assisting Young People, page 217, paragraph 1. Wealth in Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy. The King James Version translates Strong's H. 7167 in the following manner. Wealth. I mean, rent 54 times, tear 4 times, rent away twice, cut 1 or 2 times, or 1 time, cut out 1 time, and surely 1 time. Hosea 13a, a memory verse. I'll meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her wealth, and will rend the call of their hearts, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Genesis 49:9. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, as an old lion, who shall rouse them up. Chapter 72, the rebellion of Absalom. Margin, Hushai saw that if the plan were followed, David would be lost. He said, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men that they be mighty men, that they be chaste in their mind, as a bear robbed for whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, will not lodge with the people. Church and Prophets, page 740, paragraph 1. In figurative language, the prophet Nahum compared the Ninevites to a cruel, ravenous lion who did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lioness, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens Great. Or rather, Nahum 2:12, upon whom the prophet inquired, hath not thy wickedness passed continually? Nahum 3:19, Review Herald, December 4th, 1913, paragraph 2. Disease, scripture and spirit prophecy. Disease body is accompanied nearly always by disease mind. Testimony, so Church Volume 6, page 301. To take people right where they are, whatever their position or condition, and help them in every way possible, this is gospel ministry. Those who are diseased in body are nearly always diseased in mind. And when the soul is sick, the body also is affected. Ministers should feel it a part of their work to minister to the sick and the afflicted whenever opportunity presents itself. The ministers of the gospel is to present the message, which must be received if the people are to become sanctified and made ready for the coming of the Lord. This work is to embrace all that was embraced in Christ's ministry. Testimonies of the Church, Volume 6, page 301, paragraph 1. This Sabbath, we review more about our four topics, bear cups. The largest Kodiak bear ever seen in the U.S., animals around the globe. Kodiak bears are among the largest terrestrial carnivores in the world, embodying the magnificence and power of wildlife. Among these giants, there have been reports of extraordinary individuals that dwarf their kin, captivating researchers of wildlife enthusiasts alike. This article embarks on an exploration of these colossal creatures, focusing on the largest Kodiak bear ever seen in the United States. Through a scientific and factual lens, we'll delve into the background, characteristics, and significance of these magnificent animals. Information from www.animalsaroundtheglobe.com will tell us the largest Kodiak bear ever seen in the U.S. 8-8-2-9-6-5-9-3. Continuing the largest Kodiak. Kodiak bears, or Ursus artus mindendorfi, their scientific name, are subspecies of the brown bear and are native to the Kodiak archipelago in Alaska. Known for their exceptional size, these bears are a keystone species playing a crucial role in their ecosystem. They are primarily solitary animals, with each bear claiming a territory where it can forage and hunt for food. Male Kodiak bears typically weigh between 800 to 1,500 pounds, with females being smaller. However, extraordinary individuals have been known to exceed these numbers by significant margins. The largest documented Kodiak bear ever was recorded at a staggering 1,656 pounds. Showcasing the potential size these animals can achieve under favorable conditions. As apex predators, Kodiak bears influence their habitat significantly. They help maintain the balance of the ecosystem by controlling salmon populations and dispersing seeds through their scat, which aids in plant growth. The presence of large individuals further emphasizes the health and vitality of their environment. We view our fourth topic from our lesson 11, bear cubs. Continuing, cubs learn through play and mimicry. Bear cubs develop crucial life skills through what appears to be playful behavior, but serves vital developmental purposes. Cubs engage in wrestling matches, chase games, and climbing competitions that build strength, agility, and social skills. These playful interactions teach cubs how to establish dominance, defend themselves, and interact appropriately with their bears. Cubs also learn by carefully observing and mimicking their mother's behaviors, watching how she fishes for salmon, digs for roots, or breaks into beehives for honey. This combination of play and observation prepares cubs for independence, turning seemingly frivolous activities into essential survival training. Research shows that cubs with more opportunities to play and third tend to become more successful adult bears, demonstrating the developing importance of these learning mechanisms. Bear cubs possess a remarkable vocalization system that helps maintain their crucial bond with their mother. When frightened, separated, or in danger, cubs emit a distinctive crying sound that immediately alerts their mother to potential threats. This high-pitched call, often described as similar to a human's infant cry, triggers an immediate protective response from the mother bear. Cubs also communicate through a variety of other vocalizations, including grunts, moans, and humming sounds that indicate contentment or distress. Mother bears respond with their own vocalizations, creating a sophisticated communication system between parent and offspring. This vocal bond not only ensures safety, but also strengthens the emotional connection between mother and cub, demonstrating the complex social structures that exist within bear families. We even have two videos that demonstrate these facts. Here's our first one. Now, here comes our second one. Pretty amazing. Okay, continuing, cubs have playful personalities and individual traits. Wildlife researchers and bear specialists have documented distinct personality differences among cubs. Even within the same litter, some cubs demonstrate bold, curious temperament. being the first to explore new environments or try unfamiliar food. Others show more cautious, observant personalities, carefully watching before engaging. These individual differences aren't just random variation. They represent different survival strategies that might benefit cubs in various circumstances. Bold cubs might find more food resources but face greater risk, while cautious cubs might avoid dangers but potentially miss opportunities. Researchers have observed that these early personality traits often persist into adulthood, influencing each bear's unique approach to survival challenges. Bear cubs have incredible growth rate. The growth rate of bear cubs ranks among the most impressive in the mammal world. Starting at less than a pound at birth, black bear cubs can reach 60 to 70 pounds by their first birthday, increasing their body weight by approximately 60 times. This remarkable development is fueled by their mother's extremely rich milk, which contains up to 33% fat content, compared to approximately 4% in human milk. This nutritional powerhouse allows cubs to pack on the weight rapidly, particularly important for a species that hibernates. Cubs gain most of this weight during the warmer months when food is plentiful, building up critical fat reserves for their first winter. By the time they reach independence at 1.5 to 2.5 years old, they've undergone one of nature's most dramatic transformations from tiny, vulnerable newborns to capable young bears ready to face the world. Cubs must learn critical survival skills before independence. The period cubs spend with their mother serves as an intensive wilderness survival course. Before they can succeed on their own, bear cubs must master numerous complex skills. These include identifying bears' food sources across seasons, developing hunting and fishing techniques, establishing territories, avoiding dangers, and understanding social hierarchies with other bears. Cubs learn to recognize predators and threats through their mother's reaction. Her alarm calls and defensive postures teach them what to fear. They must also develop specific regional knowledge, such as when salmon run in local streams or where to find nutritious plants. Cubs that are orphaned or separated from their mothers too early often struggle with these skills at significantly lower survival rates, highlighting the critical importance of this extended learning period. Cubs' special milk teeth for nursing. Bear cubs are born with specialized milk teeth that are perfectly adapted for nursing from their mother. These deciduous teeth are sharper and more curved than their permanent teeth, allowing cubs to effectively latch onto their mother's teeth and stimulate milk flow. Bears typically nurse for 6 to 8 months, though they begin sampling solid food at around 3 to 4 months of age. Mother's milk provides not only essential nutrients, but also antibodies that boost the cub's immune system. Around 5 to 6 months of age, cubs begin losing their milk teeth as their permanent teeth emerge, a process that continues until they're about 1.5 years old. This transition coincides with their gradual shift to a fully solid diet, mark an important step toward independence. Twins and triplets are common in bear litters. Unlike many large mammals that typically produce single offspring, bears frequently give birth to multiple cubs in a single litter. Black bears commonly have 2 to 3 cubs, while brown bears usually have 2, and polar bears typically have twins. This reproductive strategy represents a developing balance between quality and quantity of offspring. Having multiple cubs increases the chances that at least some will survive to adulthood, even in harsh conditions. Interestingly, bear cubs in the same litter can have different fathers, a phenomenon called multiple paternity that occurs when a female mates with several males during her breeding period. This increases genetic diversity within a single litter, potentially giving the cubs better odds of survival through varied genetic traits. Cubs ride on their mother's back for protection. One of the most heartwarming behaviors observed in bear families is cubs riding on their mother's back. This behavior serves multiple practical purposes beyond just being adorable. In crossing rivers, on lakes, small cubs might struggle with swimming long distances, so hitching a ride on mom's back keeps them dry and conserves their energy. Additionally, this elevated position protects cubs from potential predators on the ground and helps them navigate through challenging terrain. Their behavior is especially common among black bears and brown bears in wetland environments. Some wildlife biologists believe this piggyback behavior also strengthens the bond between mother and cubs while teaching the young bears about their habitat from a safe vantage point. In conclusion, the wonder and importance of bear cubs in our ecosystem. Bear cubs represent not only some of the nature's most endearing creatures, but also play vital roles in their ecosystems as they grow into adults. Their journey from tiny, vulnerable newborns to powerful, independent bears showcases the remarkable adaptations that allow these species to survive. Understand the development and behavior of bear cubs helps us appreciate the complexity of wildlife and the importance of protecting natural habitats. As climate change and human development continue to threaten bear populations worldwide, concern the wilderness area these animals need becomes increasingly crucial. By appreciating the wonder of bear cubs, we can foster a greater commitment to ensuring these magnificent animals continue to thrive for generations to come. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. First, we have from our dear sister Cerise's family from the picture of the stingray. It says from that book, a ray's mouth is on the underside of its bed body. When a ray lays on the sand, it cannot take in clear water. It has two holes on top of its head called spiracles about its eyes. The water goes in these holes and down over the gills and is pumped out through the gill slits to the bottom left and right of its mouth. The ray needs to lay on the bottom of the ocean to rest, and so it disguises itself as a sandy pancake. And as it moves along its seabed, it assists them by using a sensitive nose to find shellfish and crustaceans. And here from the short field, we'll show how they swim. Sister Theresian family, would any of you like to share your experience from these two pictures and plus the video that was played?
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Yeah, so for this one, is we were able to go in the we were able to be underneath it's like a tube in the aquarium, that we were able to see all these beautiful and really huge sea creatures. And this one was right over our head. Another one was passing over our head that was smiling too. And the bird you saw, he was in a fish tank, but he was just peculiar in there. He was walking on top of the leaf. I've never seen that bird before, so we thought to take a picture of it to share a part of our experience in our nature walk.
Bonjashi.
Thank you, Bernadette. That was my mistake. Stingray review. The wingspan of the mighty manta ray can be as wide as 20 feet or 6 meters, yet this large fish eats nothing bigger than plankton. Stephen had grown large in faith by eating, spiritually, nothing more than the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah 15:16. Stephen was having a large influence in Jerusalem. He was doing nothing more than saying simple words under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Atlantic torpedo ray stuns its prey with electric shocks, with some measuring more than 200 volts, which would be enough electricity to run a video machine. You can imagine how much more powerful the Holy Spirit is to change hearts. The tail of a stingray is used for stinging. They have one or more sharp spines like an arrow on the tail, which they use for defense. The spines are connected to a poison sac, and their sting is very painful. The wrong spirits, such as the council that tried Stephen, were like stinging spines. The eagle ray can swim so fast that it can leap out of the water. It can remind us how Stephen was lifted above his trial into the atmosphere of heaven. We continue our dear species family's experience with pictures of the leafy sea dragon and the bird we later identified as a common gallimule. Here's the review for the leafy sea dragon. Sea dragons are some of the most ornately camouflaged creatures on the planet. Adorned with gossamer leaf-shaped appendages over their entire bodies, they are perfectly outfitted to blend in with the seaweed and kelp formations they live among. Information from NationalGeographic.com. Type, fish, detection status, near threatened. Their size is up to 13.8 inches. Or 35 centimeters. Did you know the tail of a male leafy sea dragon will turn bright yellow when he is ready to mate? Very amazing. Sorry. And next we have the identified bird on the lily pads, which they saw above the fish tank. The Georgia male common gallimule review. Common gallimules are medium-sized marsh birds with long legs and toes. In profile, note the small head, thin neck, and small thin bill. Swimming birds frequently hold their wings up, such that the wingtips stick up on the back. Common gallimules are mostly charcoal gray birds with a white stripe down their sides and white outer tail feathers. Adults have a bright red shield on their forehead and a red bill tipped in yellow. Immature birds look similar to adults, but lack the red shield and bill. Common gallimules swim like a duck, pushing their head forward and walk on top of marsh vegetation like the rail they are. When they walk, they tend to crouch down and slowly flip their tail up, revealing white undertail feathers. They often stay close to emergent marsh vegetation, but swim out in the open from time to time. They reside in freshwater or brackish marshes, ponds, or lakes with a mix of some submerged, floating, and emergent vegetation in open water. They also forage in small ditches, canals, and rice fields. Information from www.allaboutbirds.org/guide/common-gallimule/ID. Then we have the blueberry shrub review, the info from it. blueberry, pie brush, Phasianum corymbosum, from the plant family Ericaceae. The Hayabusa blueberry is an upright deciduous shrub commonly found in swamps, woodlands, pine barrens, disturbed areas, and along shores. Their stems can grow up to 23 feet or 7 meters. Flowering fruit, white or pink urn-shaped blossoms are borne in clusters of 8 to 10. Flowers have 5 petals and emerge between May and June, between this month, which is ending, and next month, which is approaching. Dusky blue fruits are round and slightly flat, measuring 0.25 to 0.5 inches or 0.6 to 1 centimeter across. They have a waxy bloom. Leaf foliage is red in spring, turning blue-green in summer. Leaves are simple and ultra with smooth or torched edges. They may be oval or elliptical with a length of 1.5 to 3 inches or 4 to 7 centimeters. Hairs cover the lower leaf surfaces. Edible parts, fruit and leaves. The key medicinal uses, the leaves are astringent. Fruits are high in antioxidants. How to harvest and eat? It can be savored raw or cooked. Pick blueberries when they are at peak maturity, usually in August to September, as they will not ripen off the branch. Seed can be used from the leaves and fruit. For instance, here's a blueberry recipe, the blueberry grunt. It says combine 4 cups of berries, 1 cup of sugar, and 1/2 cup of water in a pan. Bring to a boil and reduce to a simmer until cooked. Remove from heat, add 1 tablespoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, and boil. Combine 2 cups of flour, 1/4 cups of sugar, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Mix in 2 tablespoons of butter and 1 cup of milk. Roll dough into balls and drop them into your cooked berries. The pan on medium heat, cover, and steam for 15 minutes. Pop with fresh thyme. And their poisonous acolytes are the buckthorn, whose the scientific name is Lamina cathartica. Next, we have the Canadian goose review. Here we read, eat from FBL Year 2, Quarter 1. The bird's book. The highest flyer known is the barhead goose. They fly over the highest mountains in the world, the Himalayas in Asia, at a height of 25,000 feet or 7,625 meters. Adonijah, another son of David, selfishly wanted to be the highest in Israel when God had already chosen Solomon, his brother, to be king. As the barhead goose follows God's plan in flying high over the Himalayas, so Adonijah needed to selfishly follow God's plan and take a lower position to serve Solomon. Geese fly together in flocks that make a V formation. The leader is always at the point of the V. The geese flying behind the leader have an easier time of flying because they of the windbreak the leader makes as he cuts through the air. Adonijah would have had a much easier time if he had been willing to follow the lead of Solomon. The geese teach us that being the leader carries with it the job of service to others. Solomon was his character quality of unselfishness. Solomon, with his character quality of unselfishness, was fit to be a leader who is really a servant of God's people. The albatross has a very large wingspan, more than 11 feet or 3.5 meters, that helps keep it in the air for days. As strong winds blow the world's southern ocean, the giant albatross can soar for a long time. It can fly up to 600 miles or 960 kilometers a day. That would be like traveling from blank to blank. The blanks are for give, estimate places in your area. you're free to write which place is to place them and how far 600 miles can be. But continuing, and Nigel selfishly wanted to soar where he could not. God in mercy to all allowed his plans to fail. On the other hand, Solomon held out his wings of faith and let the Holy Spirit, like the wind, lift him into the position of being king. He did not lie upon his own power to be king. Adonijah did use his own power or force, and he was not able to rise to the height of being king. It was like sin, especially selfishness, had clipped his spiritual wings. And this is below the picture of the goose, the Canadian kind. Adonijah selfishly wanted to be the highest in Israel when God had already chosen Solomon to be king. Then you have Ohio's herons review. The type of species is the great blue heron. Here are also from the same bird book. Some wading birds are the American bittern, common snipe, great blue heron, like here, and the spotted sandpiper. Herons are graceful birds with long pointed bills. These bills seem to come right out of their eyes. Herons' heads are narrow and their necks are long, slender. Their legs look like sticks. Some herons have long crests on their heads as well as plumes on their throats and bodies. When they are in flight, herons stretch their long legs straight out behind them, and their heads are curled between their shoulders. They nest and roost in flocks, but hunt food alone. Their nests are made of loose masses of sticks in the treetops or in bushes. The female lays 3 to 6 eggs. Babies are helpless for a few weeks after they hatch. The parents feed the young until they can fly. Whenever a night heron returns to its nest, it bows to its mate and to the baby heron. That is how the baby birds recognize their father. This reminds me, the writer writes, of how the sorcerer or sorceress recognized Saul by the way he looked and acted. You will see a heron wading along the shore searching for food, like near a pond or a lake or a river. A black heron will stop, crouch in the water with wings held out like an umbrella in order to shade the surface from the bright African sun. Fish are attracted to the shade. As soon as it sees its prey, the heron catches its victim in its special bill. This reminds me, the writer writes, of Saul as it were swimming into the shade of the Witch of Endor and Satan. Continuing the review, continuing with the great heron, there he would be caught as prey because of his disobedience. Since herons spend so much time in or near water, their feathers become dirty with slime. God has given them an unusual way of cleansing themselves. Herons have pitches of downy feathers that produce a fine powder. They take this powder and comb it over their feathers with their claws, and it soaks up the slime. Slime is slippery, often sticky, in matter such as thin mud or the mucus coating a fish. This reminds me, the writer writes, of how God had provided a way for Saul to cleanse himself from the sin of disobedience. But Saul did not want to remove the slime of sin from his life. Next, from dear Sister Grace, with the picture of the rainbow, we have information from a book all about rainbows. And the Bow of Promise. The rainbow is the gospel published in the sky. At a time in history when books and paper were not available like we have now, the rainbow was God's way to cheer men's hearts and keep them from being afraid. When rains came pouring down, streams swelled into great rivers. Rivers grew broad like seas, and still the rain kept falling. Men might have been afraid that God was going to flood the world again, but God made the rainbow for a sign that he would not. When God made a covenant with Noah that he would no more destroy the world by a flood, he said, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Now remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Genesis 9, 12-16. And our dear brother Joel O.S. experience review. Overview, the raccoons, whose scientific name is Procyon lotor. Raccoons are found in all parts of Ohio. For many years, our raccoon population has been growing. They have moved into towns and cities and can live almost any place where there is food for them to eat and a den to serve as shelter. Many of them live, temporarily at least, in drain tiles and sewer systems. There is little wonder why they are plump, as raccoons will sample anything that even remotely resembles food. Description: raccoons are normally gray or black in color with pale gray coloring underneath. They can also be red or blonde in color, although not as common. Their black mask is rimmed on top and bottom with white. The raccoon's tail has 4 or 6 black or dark brown rings. Their reproduction. Raccoons mate from February through March in Ohio. Males will mate with several females during the breeding season. Typically, only one litter is produced each year, but there can be more. Litter sizes consist of 3 to 7 young, 4 on average. Gestation lasts 63 to 65 days. Newborn raccoons are well furred with their eyes opening around 19 days. By the 6th or 7th week, the young are weaned and weigh about 1.5 pounds. The young raccoons will stay with the mother through the fall, with some staying with her during the winter as well. Habitat and behavior. The raccoon prefers to live in wooded areas with big trees and lots of winter close by. During the daytime, raccoons sleep in hollow trees or logs and other animals abandoned dens. They are nocturnal and are up and about during the dark hours of the night. Even though the raccoon does not really hibernate, it can sleep for days and even weeks at a time during the cold winter months. Raccoons are omnivorous and prefer to eat berries, acorns, baby birds, frogs, and fish. Our referencing of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from everyone's got someone coming in. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from The Desire of Ages, chapter 43, Bear Spoken Down, part 3, and final reference. Continuing, here, Christ meets one of an unfortunate and despised race that has not been favored with the light of God's word, yet she yields at once to the divine influence of Christ and has implicit faith in his ability to grant the favor she asks. She begs for the crumbs to fall from the master's table, that she may have the privilege of a dog. She is willing to be regarded as a dog. She has no national or religious prejudice or pride to influence her cause, and she immediately acknowledges Jesus as the Redeemer. And as being able to do all that she asks of him. Desire of Ages, page 401, paragraph 2. The Savior is satisfied. He has tested her faith in him. By his dealings with her, he has shown that she who has been regarded as an outcast from Israel is no longer an alien, but a child of God's household. As a child, it is her privilege to share in the Father's gift. Christ now grants her request and finishes the lesson for the disciples. Turning to her with a look of pity and love, he says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. From that hour, her daughter became whole. The demon troubled her no more. The woman despised acknowledging her Savior and happy in the granting of her prayer. Desire pages, page 401, paragraph 3. This was the only miracle that Jesus wrought while on this journey. It was for the performance of this act that he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He wished to relieve the afflicted woman, at the same time leave an example in his work of mercy toward one of a despised people for the benefit of his disciples, whom he should no longer be with them. He wished to lead them from their Jewish exclusiveness to be interested in working for others beside their own people. Desire of Ages, page 402, paragraph 1. The Savior's visit to Phoenicia and the miracle there performed had a yet wider purpose, not alone for the afflicted woman, nor even for his disciples and those who received their labor. He was the work accomplished that, but also that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in him through his name. John 20:31. The same agencies that barred men away from Christ 1,800 years ago are at work today. The spirit which built up the partition wall between Jew and Gentile is still active. Pride and prejudice have built strong walls of separation between different classes of men. Christ's mission has been misrepresented, and multitudes feel that they are virtually shut away from the ministry of the gospel. Let them not feel that they are shut away from Christ. There are no barriers which man or Satan can erect, but that faith can penetrate. Desire of Ages, page 403, paragraph 1. In faith, the woman of Phoenicia flung herself against the barriers that had been piled up between Jew and Gentile. Against discouragement, regardless of appearance that might have led to her doubt, she trusted the Savior's love. It is thus that Christ desires us to trust in him. The blessings of salvation are for every soul. Nothing but his own choice can prevent any man from becoming a partaker of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Isaiah, page 403, paragraph 2. Taste is hateful. Taste is hateful to God. He ignores everything of this character. In his sight, the souls of all men are of equal value. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the bars before times before appointed, the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Without distinction of age or rank or nationality or religious privilege, all are invited to come unto him and live. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The same Lord over all that is rich and to all that call upon him. Whatsoever that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. From Acts 17:26-27, Galatians 3:28, Proverbs 22:2, Romans 10:11-13, from Desire of Ages, page 403, paragraph 3. Here are three bonus questions. You can find the answers in the Bible, Desire of Ages, or from the lesson book itself. 1. Read Matthew 15:27. 2. How did Jesus respond to these words? The answer is in Matthew 15:28 And three, what was the daughter healed? It's taken from Matthew 15, also Matthew 15, 28. And our closing hymn for our Tao study is entitled, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. If anyone wants to sing the verse, bubble up.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy done. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire.
Where life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear one. We apologize. We have a nurse that comes in to my mom. So we are going to ask the little one, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, to close in with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. And we thank you, Father Jesus, for all the lessons that we're learning in nature. It never ceases to amaze when we learn the details of your blessed creatures, Father Jesus. We thank you. Continue to teach us in this regard, I pray. Please be with the little ones this Sabbath. Continue to bless them and keep them learning of all your blessings today. Be with their parents as well. Be with us as we go into other sections of the studies. Be with the speaker, I pray, Father. Give us the word that we are and the comfort that we are looking for today, I pray. Be with anyone that is not feeling well, I pray, that you may put your healing hands upon them. And thank you again for this blessed Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. This is the final lesson of our toddler study entitled The Home of the Saved from our study book, The Story of Jesus. And dear ones, we have come to the end of our book. Praise the living Godhead forevermore for granting us all to share this wonderful journey with our toddlers and family here and abroad. Thank you, Savior. And dear Remnant family, thank you so much for all that you have done by sharing, by imparting the things that the Lord had placed in your heart. I have learned so much and I'm continuing to learn, especially on this beautiful lesson with the toddler and the children's Sabbath school lesson as well. So it has been a great honor and privilege to serve you all, dear ones. May our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, continue to guide your precious lives, walks, and study, and prepare you all to serve our Godhead to their glory alone. So this will end our program. It is a bittersweet, but I'm going to still be around. Just have to do some other things then with my mom and my dad. Please keep minds in prayer, as I will keep all of y'all as well. And thank you for the privilege. May y'all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, and God bless.